From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met with Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif on Tuesday for bilateral talks in Tehran. They discussed prospects for bilateral cooperation in political, trade, economic, humanitarian, and other areas, with a focus on joint projects in the energy transport sector. They also discussed topical regional and international issues, including the current situation in Syria, Yemen, and Afghanistan, as well as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action regarding Iran's nuclear program. They held a press conference, and we bring you that in its entirety. Again, this is Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif in Tehran, Iran, on Tuesday.
Good morning. I welcome you all. Members of the press and guests, welcome to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I'm very happy that we have the pleasure to host my friend, my dear friend, that we've built a very strong strategic relation with Lavrov, Foreign Minister of the Russian Federation. Russia is a very good neighbor for Iran. Our cooperation, our ties, cultural and political, are diversified, as well as our strategic cooperation and cooperation in the area of security. We, our leaders, always stay in communication, and we have various bilateral and multilateral forums. Now this cooperation is expanding, and we're happy that our cooperation in the region is based on the ideas of peace and security, on the idea of stopping the violence in the region, and of course our goal is to fight against terrorism and extremism. And we continue to cooperate in the Astana format and also in other formats. Today we had a very fruitful discussion on our bilateral agenda. We signed agreements on the cultural cooperation and also other areas of our bilateral relations, starting with economy and to our cooperation in nuclear energy. We reached good agreements, and we decided to continue our cooperation. As for the regional issues, we discussed security measures in the Persian Gulf, and we also said that all countries, all the Gulf countries, as well as other players who are interested in solving the issue, it's important for them to participate in the discussions and negotiations. And we also think that it's important. We also had substantial talks on cooperation with peace and security and making sure that the country solves the crisis. Our talks were, we also discussed sanctions, and I would like to thank the Russian Federation for their unwavering support and supporting the format where discussions are being held, and we continue to continue our talks, and we need to make sure that the United States goes back to the deal, abiding by the deal, and Iran will diversify its efforts. We don't have any problems with going back to fulfilling the nuclear deal that what our leader said, but the Americans have to know that sanctions are not good pressure. We're not pressured by sanctions. We're not going to do anything if we're pressured by sanctions. And I would like to thank the Russian Federation for their vaccine deliveries. And I hope that through the cooperation between our countries, we'll be able to license manufacturing of the Sputnik V vaccine here in Iran, and we'll be able to get more doses of the Sputnik vaccine here in Iran. It's a very important area for us, very important area where we diversify our cooperation. So welcome, Mr. Lavrov, and now I give the
floor. Gentlemen,
we have had meaningful talks with my friend and colleague, Foreign Minister of Iran, Mohammad Javad Zarif. These talks have taken place in a traditionally friendly and frank atmosphere. Resulted in a number of meaningful arrangements reached. Last month, we celebrated the 20th anniversary of signing an agreement on the principles of cooperation and partnership. This treaty has laid the foundation, has paved the way for our bilateral relations to grow and prosper. Based on international law, respect towards each other, and our relations are up to that very high bar set by this agreement. Today, we see that our political dialogue is developing dynamically, including among the leaders. We agreed to deliver on the arrangements reached by the presidents, by the leaders of our countries in such areas as agriculture, transportation, nuclear energy and others. We welcome close cooperation between the ministries and agencies of Iran and Russia. We have a very multifaceted cooperation. Our intelligence communities cooperate, our humanitarian organizations cooperate a lot, and we have a lot of good people-to-people relations as well. We also talked about the Eurasian Economic Union and its cooperation with Iran. In December last year, a decision was made to initiate talks to sign a permanent free trade agreement to substitute a temporary one, which was signed back in 2018 and which has been working successfully since. We are liberalizing our trade, and I believe that this will help our turnover to grow even more. We also have taken stock of what we have been doing together to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. We delivered over 900,000 doses of Sputnik V to Iran, and our friends in Iran have confirmed that it is a successful and effective vaccine. We are ready to continue helping our neighbors, our partners. One of the ways to do that is to localize the production, to launch the production locally in Iran. In January, Mohammad Javad Zarif visited Moscow. We signed an agreement to reinforce information security. And today we signed another document, an intergovernmental agreement on setting up and laying down all the modalities for the work of the Russian Center in Iran and the Iran Center in Russia, which is going to give the peoples of our countries an opportunity to know each other cultures more. It's good to see that the interest towards Russian and the Russian culture in Iran is growing, and it's a pleasure to see that. We are building up our efforts to improve the legal and contractual framework. Today we agreed to formulate another agreement to cooperate in the field of biological security, because this is an area we believe requires a lot more cooperation. We see a lot of threats popping up in, and that is why we need to ensure that we all act transparently because of the growing number of threats. And the threats are because, for instance, the U.S. is all against creating such a verification mechanism, which could act as part of the Biological Weapons Convention. Iran and many other our partners believe that we need to promote progress on that track bilaterally to achieve greater transparency in this very, very important area. Today, we talked over our cooperation. We agreed to further coordinate our actions in the IAEA, in the Chemical Weapons Organization, the OPCW. We discussed the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the Iran nuclear deal. As you probably know, the way to save this deal, and we underscored it many times, lies only in the full compliance by all stakeholders, in the full compliance with the 2231 resolution of the UN Security Council. I hope that this deal will stay and Washington will come back into the deal as the UN Security Council dictates, and that will create an atmosphere for Iran to fully deliver on its promises and obligations. I know that Iran is ready to do that if the US does its part of the deal, holds its part of the bargain. We are in full support of the Vienna talks, and we condemn any attempts to torpedo these very important talks in Vienna. We compared notes on our defense cooperation, on our work in Syria, and we hope that the conflict in Syria will be resolved as soon as possible. We agree to cooperate within the Astana format. Russia, Iran, and Turkey work alongside. We believe that the only way to overcome the long-held differences of opinion in the region of the Gulf is to take into account the concerns of everyone and respect each other. The sooner the talks start, the sooner we will be able to usher in a new era of cooperation. As you know, Russia has put forward an initiative to set up collective security framework in the Gulf region. And that is something we again reminded our Iranian colleagues of. This is not going to be an anti-Iranian initiative like some other initiatives which have been put forward. What we want to do is to unite countries, create mechanisms for collective response to threats and challenges which would involve every country of the Gulf, Iran, all its neighbors. Same principles lie in the foundation of Tehran's Hormuz peace initiative. We discussed the Nagorno-Karabakh issue as Russia has been acting as mediator in that conflict, ensuring lasting ceasefire. We underscore the need to overcome the conflict and achieve lasting peace, lasting resolution on a fair basis, which would be fair towards both Armenia and Azerbaijan. And here, countries of the region can also contribute, and we discuss how that can be done. Among other things, we discussed such issues as the situation in Yemen and Afghanistan. Our positions on these two issues are very close. Overall, we have agreed that we are very much satisfied with the talks on all the issues that we discussed. We reached agreement, and I am thankful to my friends for a very warm welcome towards our delegation. And I also would like to wish all the Muslims happy Ramadan. Thank you very much.
And all the and members of the delegation, my question is about the EU. The EU is mediating the nuclear deal and the talks between Iran and five countries, but they are also instituting sanctions against us. So, Mr. Lavrov, what do you think about the situation and the EU efforts in this area? Узнал новость о том, что
Евросоюз ввел санкции против because of the reported human rights violations. I haven't seen the full text, but the very fact itself raises a lot of questions and eyebrows. The EU seems to be lacking any coordination. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand does. And that's lamentable. However, that's the decision which was made knowingly in the midst of the talks to save the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, then this is not a problem, this is a mistake. A mistake is worse than a crime sometimes, as we say. In the light of this event, I would like to reiterate that we are against any attempts to torpedo these talks. And these talks, they have been happening, but they are quite difficult. I hope that our European partners will realize that their kind of approach is unacceptable, and they will remedy this so that the talks would continue rather than get stuck.
As proof that they can't fulfill their obligations within the nuclear deal format, and they basically gave up and surrendered to pressure from the U.S. And we see that they are becoming less important on the international arena. So, and the EU is putting the sanctions against the food security in Iran. And we think that they need to stand against the U.S. pressure. And we're not even talking about nuclear reactors now, but they need to take action in the IAEA format. Their position is very soft, and instead of taking decisive steps, they're just surrendering to the pressure and giving to the pressure, and they're just showing that just shows that they don't matter. The EU is not an independent force. They follow the US in everything they do and support all the extremist measures taken by the U.S., and that's a shame. And of course, there will be a reaction on our part, and we will take certain steps, and some of them we announced yesterday, and there is a chance for us to impose sanctions on the European politicians who supported the illegitimate action. And of course, we will fight for the rights of our people. And of course, we're conducting talks to make sure that the sanctions are lifted. And of course, the EU doesn't have a lot of time. They have to continue fulfilling their obligations connected to the nuclear deal. If we run out of time, it's going to be a big problem. So we're hoping that common sense will prevail in the EU, and they will stop supporting the regime and the gestures that they are demonstrating, that they will stop with those gestures, and instead they should demonstrate their benevolence and continue to fight for the human rights. They need to think about their authority, and the EU should know that Europe does not have the upper moral ground. The EU cannot condemn the rest of the world. If they continue this war on Islam, and they don't have the moral ground, they have created put Muslims in a terrible situation, so they have no authority now, and they cannot impose sanctions on Iranian politicians and officials. And as soon as they understand this, the better it will be for everyone. They have to know that this is not their place.
In that context, I would like to ask you one question. How much of importance this lifting of oil sanctions and defreezing Iranian assets abroad to Iran, how can that undermine the balance in the oil market, which has been reached through a lot of talks within the OPEC Plus framework? Is there indeed a problem with the sanctions that it can cause the a lot of problems with the Bushehr MPP construction project? Can that project be dead in the water this year? Sorry for my wordiness, just one sub-question for Mr. Lavrov. Germany's defense minister lamented Moscow's lack of explanations towards the fact that it deployed more troops, reportedly deployed more troops on the border with Ukraine. What do you say about that? Any comments? Well, we stand united with Iran in that matter. All unilateral sanctions imposed by Washington in direct violation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action should be lifted and cancelled, nulled. This is the kind of issue the sides, the parties are discussing in Vienna. The U.S. is said to be willing to come back into the deal following the 2231 resolution. That would allow Iran to come back to full compliance with all the voluntary steps which it has undertaken since. Now, turning to the possible influence of the talks in Vienna, I hope that this is going to be positive influence. When the sanctions are lifted, there will be more oil in the market, Iran's oil. The question is how that impact the OPEC Plus efforts. Here is what I can tell you. And this is my principal position. Well, we should base our policies on economic issues, policy, and politics can help to solve economic problems, but we should act based on international law, rules and norms of the WTO, principles of free trade and others. We should be guided by these principles, and our decisions should be based on that. When we try to achieve some economic benefits, but when you try to achieve economic benefits by some illegitimate unilateral sanctions, violating the UN Security Council, violating the WTO norms and rules, well, that kind of policy we condemn. Economic benefits cannot be and should not be achieved through illegal, illegitimate means. What is your second question? It had to do with the Ministry of Defense of Iran. Well, Bushehr, yeah. Well, we say the U.S. should come back into the deal in full, and that means that not only the illegitimately imposed sanctions should be lifted, I mean the direct sanctions, but all those sanctions which have been imposed indirectly towards the companies who dared to cooperate with Iran. That's the kind of extraterritorial application of the U.S. jurisdiction that we've seen happening a lot. And I believe that the EU today is going down the same path. It's substituted all the legitimate means with illegitimate ones. So that extraterritorial application of one's laws should not be happening. And that's part of the talks as well. Now, the third question of yours, Germany's defense minister said that Russia should explain itself, explain what is happening in our territory. Well, we are told to be hiding some facts. And I would like to remind Ms. Kornbauer, Minister of Defense, Germany. Well, I hope you can respect Russia's right to conduct military deals on its own territory. Now, as you know, Navalny was in Germany, and Germany failed to notify us about his health, status, anything. There was nothing. At the same time, Germany accused us of poisoning him, or at least that he was poisoned on Russia's territory. Not a single fact was presented. So if Ms. Kronenbauer is really that obsessed with getting all the information about her request, then I would like her to respond in reciprocity and provide us with the information we requested a while ago, and it's been hidden from us. And Ms. Kronenbauer, I hope, can shed some light on this, well, mysterious story. It's full of some secrets, I think. Berlin said that the prohibited substances, I mean chemical substances prohibited by the OPCW, were found in Navalny's body by a Bundeswehr clinic, a lab, military lab. So I hope that these legitimate requests of ours, what we have put forward a long time ago, could be finally answered. I really hope so.
Americans have to understand one important thing. Sanctions is not an instrument for concessions on the part of Iran. These sanctions are just an additional burden on the U.S. foreign policy, and it hasn't brought about any results. When Trump became president, we had almost 3 kilos of enriched uranium, and now we have about 4 tons of enriched uranium. When Trump became president, Iran only had the first generation centrifuge. Now we have the sixth generation machine, and they are working, they are functioning, and before the recent terrorist attack, we had first generation missions, and after the terrorist attack yesterday, we will go back to developing modern reactors. So 42 years have passed, and Americans should understand by now that sanctions are not a good way. The only way to solve the issue is not nuclear terrorism, but Americans want to go back to the nuclear deal. They have to lift all the sanctions that are in place right now. They have to publish the list of all the sanctions, because that's part of the nuclear deal. The U.S. has to give us the list of all the sanctions. Of course, we have our own list, but they have to understand what we're talking about. But America has to be the first one to publicize all the sanctions and then lift them. And that is our unwavering stance. We did not leave the deal. We were not the ones who just showed some paper on camera and signed some paper stating that we left the nuclear deal, and we're proud about that. It was the U.S. administration that did that. We did not call on the rest of the world to organize an economic blockade of Iran. It was the State Department that said that if Iran wants to feed its people, that it has to be obedient. And now this person is at home playing chess with some invisible person and eating fries. So the person is history now, and they have to understand that if they continue with these policies, it's going to be the same result. Americans have to stop thinking with this mindset. They have to realize that there will be no concessions through sanctions. And by supporting terrorist regimes, they are not going to force us to cooperate. And if they change their mindset, if they lift the sanctions, then we will launch the diversification mechanism and we will go back to the nuclear deal. And that's what our leader said.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.